Blog Talk Radio. on Facebook Live. Minister Sylvia Kaiser is your host for tonight for Blog Talk Radio, which is World Wide Web, as well as being on Facebook, which is another World Wide Web. I have with me, I believe she's on the line, Mother Toni Montgomery.
Yes, and?
Yes, she is.
And
I believe
yes,
her husband, Ron, be joining her tonight.
Yes.
So,
amen.
What
yes,
I have done, Mother, is I started off with prayer. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just break down what I was talking about. We were going to talk about the role of the wife tonight, and I was saying how a lot of times people don't understand the role of the wife. The wife don't understand it's a 50-50. She also plays a role that if and when the husband is not able to be the provider or the protector, she has a role to play. And I know that you and Ron is going to break it down even further. I was telling people that you all have been married over 40 years, but I'm going to allow you to give them your number so that they know it is possible that somebody can love you for a long time, as they say, for a long, long time. And when they look at you, they see you as that beautiful and handsome person that they saw when they first met you. So I'm handing it over to you and Ron at this time.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, we're getting that echo. Good evening. This is Ron Montgomery.
And this is Toni Montgomery. We are so thankful to be here. And just a short prayer as we start to just give the Lord and honor him for us being here tonight, that Lord God, we just honor you for being in control of everything. Give us what to share with others about the role of the wife in a biblical marriage. We just thank you for the word that will transform marriages and help build your people. We are just thankful. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to look at the role of the wife, as you have said. And if you have thunder and lightning in the back, we got a big storm passing over right now. So just know they're the elements out there. We're going to discuss this, the role of the wife, and we're going to talk about three key principles that go along with that role. We're going to talk about the wife as what's the wife's purpose, what is the wife's position, and what is the wife's place in the sense of practical application. So we're going to move forward with that. And so we always have to start, when we start to look at the role of the husband and the wife, we have to go back to the very beginning. Where is it? In the beginning, where does it start? So the role of female and male was clearly defined back in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And Ron's going to share that with us.
Reading from the Word, Genesis, starting in the 26th verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female.
And so we see that, is that 27?
That was 27.
27. Okay. Read 28 for me.
God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth.
And so this goes back pretty much when you were saying, Renee, that whole role is like we are, as women, our purpose, God defines it right here. He tells us to be fruitful. He tells us to fill the earth. He tells us to subdue it. It's to rule over it, to dominate. He hands the responsibility of mankind into the hand of the male and the female. He does that right off the beginning. And he wants us to rule in his behalf. So He then creates this family structure for us to do it. And he does it in the light of first spending time. God spends time with Adam. It gives Adam a defined job, gives him to create all of the creatures and the animals. He sets him up. And then he says, it ain't good for a man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in Genesis 2, 18 and 21, it really talks really about how God now constructs and puts the woman in the picture. So now we really start to see, what's our purpose? How does God define our purpose?
Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird in the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of the ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man.
So when I tell you that you think about our purpose is to be a helper, to correspond to our husband, to help, to be there, to, you know. And I want you to know that when God created us, he created us as, I don't want to, Ron tells me, I have sometimes to watch my words to say equal, but we are co-laborers in this. Because he told us both to make fruitful and multiply. And so the bottom line is that God put man and woman together to do a work that they could not do alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman has her role, the man has his role, but they have to work together. And when they work together, things happen. That's why when people talk about same sex and marriage and what's wrong with it, it doesn't fulfill God's purpose for the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two men can't do what God said for the family to do. Two women cannot do what God has designed the family to do. It is really the design that God put together was most profitable for us to do what God told us to do on his behalf. On his behalf. So when we talk about this word, I want to talk about helper some more, because sometimes people think of helper, and it is important that we know that that word is only used for Eve during creation, and then for God himself. That whole term helper is when we see it in the scripture. And it is the wife's responsibility to help the husband become all that God wants him to be. In the same way, God helps each of us to become all that we can be. So it is a position, actually a power. And so it's important. So in reading Tony Evans' Study Bible, he really talks about this word helper, and I want us to really think about that as it relates to Genesis 2 and 20.
Yeah, Tony, in the study guide for that Tony Evans has written, he did some research, and the Hebrew words translated helper,
mm-hmm.
corresponding to him, Genesis 2:20,
mm-hmm.
in the creation. They're important to examine because they are uniquely powerful. The words are Ezer, and I hope I pronounce this right, Kanedo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The word Ezer occurs 21 times in the Old Testament, with only two of those occurrences relating to a woman. In all the other instances, the word used to refer directly to God the Father. The term Kenedo was added to Ezer in order to distinguish it from every other time in the Old Testament that it was used to refer to a strong help from God.
Mm-hmm.
The addition of Kenedo, draws from the literal definition, which is before your face, within your view or purpose. It can also be translated as a counterpart to.
So we as helpers are the counterpart to our husband. We are that. We pick it up. We pick up the slack. But we make sure that we are in a position of, it's a position of power. And I know you probably heard your mom say this. My mom used to always say that the man is the head, but I'm the neck, and he can't do nothing with it. and so it's really important for us to know that whole idea that we are here to help, out of that original language, it doesn't make us, and Robert, I talked about this whole idea that it's a lot of times it is easy for the Eve's role to be one that people consider subservient. You know what I'm saying? That, Eve was less than Adam. She was like maid. She's like a maid or maid servant. Or even she just plays a simple role as support. It was bigger than that. Because think about this. The whole concept of helper comes from how God interacts with mankind, how God comes along and helps us, and how important that is. And that just, you know, as I said, the more I studied, the more it's just like God created woman, and he didn't create us like everybody else.
All right.
He created us out of Adam's rib. We didn't go to the ground. He took us so we could be that good thing, that tender, that loving. You know.
Well, we husbands always refer to our wives as our better half.
That's true. That's true. And we are your better half. And so, no. But so that first principle we talk about is that wives are here to really help their husbands keep the tenets of God. But something happened after that definition. Something changed.
Yes.
And we talked about that idea that after something happened, after God sets everything up, everything is perfect, man's got his role, the wife's got his role, her role, they're making it happen, and then...
Something happened in the Garden of Eden, and unfortunately, if we read the Bible, Genesis chapters 1 through 12,
mm-hmm.
and we see the story of the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in the second chapter, the first chapter of Genesis, where Eve wasn't going along with what the script was supposed to be like, if you will,
mm-hmm.
following God's will. God had given the commandment to eat of every tree in the garden except that one tree that they weren't supposed to touch. But Eve, instead of listening to God's word and subsequently listening to Adam's words, she listened to the words of the serpent. And the serpent told her that she would be wise and her eyes would be open.
And good for food and knowledge.
Exactly.
But you have to remember that Adam was right there, though. Scripture clearly says Adam was present. It wasn't like he was someplace and it was done not with him knowing. He was there. He was in the presence of Eve. And
he made a conscious decision not to listen to the word of God at that moment.
And that always gets us in trouble, doesn't it?
It got him in trouble. I mean, it was Adam's responsibility to lead Eve in the right direction.
Oh.
And when Eve approached him, excuse me, when Eve approached him with something that was obviously in violation of God's word,
right,
instead of him bringing Eve back to the center,
mm-hmm.
in other words, putting God in the center,
right,
and moving her closer to God,
mm-hmm.
he stepped away from God
mm-hmm.
and stepped with her.
Yeah.
And if we read the Bible from the 1st to the 12th chapter, we see at the beginning, right there is where the fall of man began.
Right.
All the way up to the Tower of Babel.
And so that really changed the role of the woman. That's where even today we struggle, because the woman, along with Adam, gave up their responsibility, and Satan then gets control.
Okay.
And so the role, the perfect role that God had for them to work as co-workers, now all of a sudden she's going to bear children, but she's going to be in pain. He is going to now have to labor. And so now he married with her and she married with him. It's just a mess. It's just a big old mess. And Satan is just sitting back just happy, because now his plan is to destroy God's plan for mankind.
Yes.
And so now it's the struggle. The struggle begins. And so the role of the woman gets convoluted in all that happens. And then we have to bring it back. We have to say, so that happened then. Now we're at the place where in the New Testament, we are given direction for what a wife is supposed to do. And so here we come. We move. We have a position. It's a position of power. And now we're dealing with the principle of submission. Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the word submission, what do you think about, Ron? What comes to mind?
From a fleshly or worldly point of view,
uh-huh.
it means to be underneath. Something is suppressing you.
Yeah.
Something that you must do because it is the will of someone else.
Yeah, that, you know, when I heard the word submission, it just makes my, in the beginning, because I didn't really understand it. I was like, ain't nobody telling me what to do, you know, and I'm not going to do like my mama was doing. And Renee, I don't know about you, but Ron and I were talking about this whole idea of what we thought about marriage in the beginning is what we really experienced in family, you know, that
yeah.
we saw our moms and our fathers to do. But when Ron and I first got married, that's what we did. We practiced what we thought we saw. You know,
yeah.
and we didn't see it all. We only saw part of it, right? We didn't go
right.
back behind the closed doors. We didn't do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, my daddy was a rascal. So mama had to contend with him. But it was always having them and watching her deal with daddy, but always in a pretty honor in an honorable way, you know. And so that's what I saw that as, well, that's what I'll do when I get married. And Ron, how did you see your family?
Well, I don't know what my daddy did. I just know what he did in front of me. You know, and I mean, I never heard anything about him doing anything untoward, but I only heard good things about my dad. And so that's what I thought marriage was I would just do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I didn't have any scriptural basis for it. And the thing that I saw my dad do is go to work every day and come home.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him get on his knees at night and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him, when he left for work in the morning, he gave my mother,
mm-hmm.
I say my wife now because I try to do this, he gave my mother a big hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
And when he came home from work, he gave her a big hug and a kiss. And to me, that's what marriage was.
Yeah.
It's the closeness of the two of them. Now, they did have arguments, but it was a closed-door thing. And I remember my dad always telling my mom, okay, now watch that little member. Come on in the room here and let's talk about it. And we would have to distract ourselves doing other things. And, I mean, it wasn't a noisy discussion,
mm-hmm.
but certainly they were in there and things were settled. And it was my idea to imitate marriage. Now, when I got saved, I started seeing that that was their purposeful steps towards marriage. Tony and I have been married 47 years.
47 years. Oh, my goodness.
And we are still learning how to be married. We just came out of a marriage summit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some things in there that they're not brand new, but we certainly had to pull them off the shelf and dust
the polish them off. Yeah. So it is that the idea that submission and the world has made it. We talked about how the world has sort of crept into the church. And so mm-hmm. when people say submit, then all of a sudden or submit to your husband, it is not biblical. So when we go and we look at Ephesians 5, I'll read the first part. It says, you are God's children whom he loves. So try to be like him. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us, giving himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and a sacrifice to God. So we get an idea that God has set the example for what we're supposed to do, even as wives, because our relationship with God has to be first. And sometimes it has not been. You know, when Ryan and I first got married, we were not saved. I was not saved. He was not saved. You know, my mama would say, boy, if y'all die tomorrow, y'all bust the bottom out of hell. So I was like, okay. But
she was saying that to me.
No, she said that to me. She wouldn't say that to me. And so, but I'm going to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord was wooing me back, was wooing me to him. And as soon as we had been married maybe a year, the Lord drew me back in, and I went and confessed Christ as my Savior and start living for him. Now, we're not perfect, but it did start our family on the right road. And it made me be a living example for my husband. So not to tell him what to do. The Lord gave me the Spirit to show him what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that was so important.
That was very important because she exemplified the perfect Christian woman I have come to learn.
And so so when we find out about submission, we have to go to the Scripture. And it tells us, in
5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 21st verse,
yes. Uh-huh.
Submitting to one another in fear of Christ. That word fear, we're going to have a discussion about that one of these days.
Yeah.
But it's not as apprehensive as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's reverence and respect.
Right.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fear of, I remember one of the things that really kept me on the straight and narrow as a young man, even as a child, was the fact that I never wanted to make my parents ashamed of me.
Mm.
I brought that into my marriage.
Right.
Because when temptation presented itself, the one thing that I always thought of is that I never wanted my wife to do, I never wanted to do anything
mm-hmm.
that would make my wife ashamed of me.
Mm.
And I mean, that kept my foot on the straight and narrow in several situations.
Yeah.
And That was a fear of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're looking for when we talk about submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. The 5th chapter of Corinthians goes on to say.
Ephesians.
I'm sorry. The 5th chapter of Ephesians
mm-hmm.
goes on to say in the 22nd verse, wives, submissive, that word again, to your husbands as to the Lord. It's a conditional submission.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not just submit to what he says because he says it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a submit to your husband as to the Lord.
Okay.
Because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
More conditions, remember.
Okay. Okay. So
he is the savior of the body. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husband in everything. And then he gives a command that men have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands, love your wife. And he gives the condition that just as Christ loved the church and gave himself to her to make her holy, cleansing with the washing of water by the word, he did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own body. So you have to give an example. Now, you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love our body.
Yes.
And he who loves his wife loves himself. But no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. And then he goes on to say how a man must leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.
So this idea of submission is just not a woman submitting. It is the woman submits as the husband submits to Christ. So
exactly.
There's an order. There's
submission should not be a tug of war in marriage.
Mm.
In fact, it should be if you want to make it like that, it should be a competition for submission.
A competition for submission.
You should compete to see who can
like
submit
that.
To the other.
Yeah, so to see how well, yeah, that because we're servants. You know, when Jesus told the disciples, he said, the greatest among you, let him be the servant. So that the husband basically shows the wife what it looks like. Submission is the most probably highly debated and misunderstood role of being a wife. In Colossians 3:18-19, the Bible says, wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. However, sometimes people have taken that as blind submission.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, you obey him and he is over you. He, you know, you're inferior. And then it's more like the wife is entrusting herself to the husband, but the husband doesn't necessarily have to reciprocate that. And so it is so important that we understand as Christians that the role that we have, that we as wives have, is that we have to really submit to Christ as well. We have to submit to Christ first. We have to, it is that relationship building that is so important that we have to do. And so submission goes hand in hand with the husband's role of leadership, Ron. It is, we submit as wives, and we give our husbands the opportunity to lead us. And so I want to ask a question. I always have to ask this question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you disagree and be in submission?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say?
I believe.
Oh,
okay.
Absolutely. It gives an opportunity for the relationship to work. Because at this point, you have an opportunity to serve. And this is, again, this is not a tug of war. This is not a competition to see who wins. It's a competition to see how the both of you win. We'll talk about an example like
buying a car.
Buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example for us in a sense. I made the mistake of buying a car without Tony's quote-unquote permission. This was decades ago.
Yeah.
So don't Don't worry, it's not a hot spot. And it just hadn't occurred to me because, again, I did my marriage thing by observation of what my dad did.
Right.
And my dad would buy a car without asking my mother permission. And at least that's the way I saw it. I never saw him asking her for permission to buy a car. And I thought, okay. Well, she let me know in no uncertain terms that it wasn't all right. Now, it's interesting because, again, following my dad's example, I didn't get all puffed up and insulted and threatened by my position of leadership. I mean, she didn't come and slap me upside the head and say, N-word?
Oh.
You won't come buy no car without my permission.
Pray for my husband.
It was a very loving approach to informing me that that wasn't a thing that we did in a marriage situation. And we had that discussion, and I learned my lesson because the car was cursed.
It was an ugly color, and it was never it never worked right. I'm telling you, the car got stolen. We end up losing three extra week of leave because it was a mess. I'm going to tell you, that car.
What color was it?
It was brown. I'm going to tell you, it was doo-doo brown. That's how it was. But it gave us an opportunity to have a conversation that we didn't think about. A lot of times people get married without having a plan. They don't have a purpose for their marriage. They just get married.
Yeah.
I like you. You like me. Okay, we just gonna make it happen. And then they get into the marriage situation, and then 6 months later, they go in upside each other's head. Or they're at odds because they never had an opportunity to establish what their family was going to do. Ron talked about this is what his father did when he bought cars. I said, well, you know, I'm giving as much to this relationship as you are. Why would you not even consider talking to me about it? You know what I'm saying? And so it sort of set a precedent in our marriage to have conversations about major purchases, how we were going to move forward. The Lord really blessed us to start to walk together a little more closely because instead of that dividing us up, it drove us together. But I know that was the Spirit of God because that wasn't anything that, you know, that I would have done on my own because I like not so much to have the last word, but I didn't want to have a word, you know what I'm saying? And so that was important. And so I think a lot of times in marriages, women's positions are like, well, you know, if I make the most money, then I should be the leader. That's not the word.
That's not the word at all.
It is that a man's position, and this is where we struggle in today's term, because God may put man in a position to lead. And he says that man is supposed to obey Christ, and then he submits to Christ, and then the wife submits to the husband. So there's order in marriage. Everybody, you can't have two heads. That is abnormal. That's out of order. But that means that there has to be order and there has to be a plan. And most people who get married don't have a plan for their marriage. They just plan to get married. They don't have a plan for their marriage. So they don't have a box. They don't have a verse they're built on. They don't have a way to have a conversation. It's like if we had to buy a car today and we disagreed, we would have to have some kind of ground to talk about the car. Because we talked about this idea that I want a car. Well, what do I want? I want a brand new car. Well, do we have budget for a brand new car? What is the purpose of the car? How do we do all of that? So it becomes a part of the conversation that we have. So as a wife, I submit to my husband because he has submitted to Christ. But we submit to each other because that's where the conversation comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. And so I asked this question. And Ron, you have a point to make. I'm just going on and on.
Well, you know, we started out by talking about roles.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we talked about the man's role and the women's role, the wife's role in a marriage. And actually, I had this conversation with my men's group last Thursday in this class that I'm taking about 24/7 dad. The question was asked, what is the man's role in a marriage? What is the woman's role in a marriage? And we actually made a list. Now, this is kind of brainstorming. And on the women's side, I'm not talking about the man's side. On the women's side, the guys, and this is all man class now. This is all men. Says cook, clean, wash dishes. She's a nurturer. She's a homework checker. And then finally we get to what we all decided was the most important thing. And she's the helpmate.
She's the helpmate.
She's the helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
And she also is a buffer and a mediator. It seems like she has to be the one to mediate situations or bring it to the attention of mediation if that's there. But the helpmate, we decided on a more formal term for that.
And what is that?
We decided to call the woman in the house, the Secretary of Interior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that I don't do anything in here unless I check it with her.
But that's because
Yeah, I don't do anything in the house unless I check it with her first. In fact,
but she's what, the Secretary of what? Defense? Is that what you say?
No. The Secretary of Interior.
I was just joking.
Why do you do that?
And so, which takes us to our last point that we want to talk about, and that is respect. So we were going to play Aretha Franklin right here, but we decided not to. We're going to leave her alone.
The words of that song are subject to interpretation. I mean, they could be okay, but then it's the reason the world interprets things the way they want to nowadays.
Yeah.
So, we have to get listen to it, and you'll see.
And so the scripture, I'm going to go back and read from Ephesians 5. I'll start at 31. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Now, that by itself is a mystery. And so when it goes on, it says, this mystery is profound. But I am talking about Christ and the church. So now we're interlacing these relationships. So you can see how closely the marriage situation, the husband and wife, is to reflect the Trinity. It is to reflect God. And so when we get to the 33rd verse, it says, to sum up, each one of you is to love his wife. So we're talking about the men. They're supposed to love their wife as himself. Real clear. So I'll make my point in a minute. And the wife is to respect her husband. Mm. So when we talk about respect, now we're talking about a woman's role. It doesn't say love your husband because we all love, but it says here to respect. And that's a means of revering, admiring, honoring. You know, a kingdom wife values her husband's opinion, admires his values and his character, and is considerate of his needs. And that's all his needs. Such as his need for self-confidence, to really encourage him, to let him know after he's been beat up on his job all day to come home and to a pleasant place of a person encouraging you and wanting your well-being and a need to be needed. And so that is so important that our husbands know that we need them and that what they do is so important to us. And so that role of helper comes to play here. And so this goes back to that idea that a husband, a wife will respect the husband in such a way that even if he is unsaved, he will see God in her and desire to play that role of leader, to be a leader in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal there is that our husbands will receive salvation. You know, I tell people that I prayed 16 years for my husband to come to Christ. And that was so important. And it wasn't my goal to browbeat him into heaven. I wanted him to willingly come and see who Christ was.
16 years.
16 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to church.
He went to church. But going to church ain't salvation.
Well, I mean, I found that out. It took a minute.
Yeah. And so that idea of respect, of respect, because I did respect his position as a leader in the household, you know. But my pastor always said it's real difficult to, in some cases, to follow a parked car. So you got a husband's got to get up and leave so that wife will willingly follow.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay, that's another discussion.
Yes. So,
the role of the wife.
The role of the wife. So the role of the wife, we say, is one that of purpose is to be the helper, is one of position where she will submit, and then the one of practical place where she's going to respect that husband, that position, where God can be seen in the life that she lives.
Amen.
Amen. So that brings us to the end of our discussion about the role of the wife.
Thank you all for that.
Yeah, and my husband said we can take questions if we want to, or we can just move forward.
Or just listen to comments other folks have.
I'm going to say to Blog Talk, if anyone has any questions about the role of the wife, if you would like to ask right now, Ron and Mother Tony would love to answer your questions. So the lines are open. Go ahead.
Well, good evening. This is Margot McCoy, and it was very encouraging and enlightening to hear these two marriage mentors go forth. giving us their insight and experience. And I don't have any questions really, other than the fact that as I was looking at that last verse in Ephesians, I looked at some of the comparisons of the different versions of that. And when it talked about what the wife should do, it was saying, you know, that each wife should honor her husband. She should reverence her husband. She should, you know, this said fear again, which is, but then respect. And so if the wife really needs to work on that part, because I think, like you said, it's easy for women to love. But to really give the man what he needs in that role of actually helping him, nurturing him. And I love the whole idea of what you said about the helpmate, that the woman is actually helping as God helped in the Old Testament. That's major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. That put a lot out there for us to think about, contemplate, and understand. Thank you very much. Thank both of you. God bless you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Minister Margot.
Yes. Thank you, Minister Margot. Is there anyone else?
This is Cecilia. Can you hear me? This is Cecilia. I don't have a question.
Yeah.
I just want to have a comment. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your experience, and tying it into not only what is done in the natural, but what's done biblically. And I thank you all for that. So just thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Cecilia. Thank you for listening and for commenting.
Well, is there anyone else? Well, this is Minister Sylvia, and I'm going to say this. I thank Mother Toni Montgomery and Minister Ron Montgomery for taking the time out to teach us about the role of the wife, and as Ron even put out there, the role of the husband. When you have been married for 47 years, you have great experience and knowledge of this key part of life, marriage. But one thing I've learned about watching married couples and looking and listening to conversations, whether I'm ear hustling or someone's talking, is that a lot of times people guide their marriages by what they see on reality TV, thinking that problems will be solved in 30 minutes or by the next commercial or by the next viewing when the program comes on. Because, you know, in a program, you can have, you can say you're pregnant today and by the middle of the season, you're ready to deliver, but by the end of the season, you didn't deliver, and then when the season comes back around, your baby is 6 or 7 years old. That's in
right.
You know, so they miss all the in-betweens. You know, and one thing I have to say is when you look at it, yes, Adam was there with Eve when she bit into the fruit and offered it to him. He forgot to guide her and lead her to what God said, and she forgot to ask him for his
God's guidance.
He forgot to ask him, here's what should she do with this opportunity that has been put in front of her. So that that's why I said earlier, it's a 50-50. He didn't take responsibility, nor did she. And myself, I had to learn that I have to pray before I speak. You know, because I'm the type of person, not only do I want the last word, I have to have the last word, because when I say something, it's going to be a statement. I'm just being honest about myself. You know, and that's one thing, and marriage people don't learn. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just be quiet. You know, and you'll get more out of being quiet than saying something. Because now everybody got to cool off, got to take a minute. And ain't nobody going to forget what was said, if we be honest.
Right.
I remember watching my mom growing up. When my mom wanted something from my dad and he would say no, she would just say, okay, baby. And she would go in the kitchen. She knew that it was two things he loved, that was some fried chicken and cornbread. And she would go in there and cook him his favorite meal, and he would get up, because she would take the towel and fan it or turn the fan on so the scent can go up where he would be at. And he would come in the kitchen and say, baby, what was that you was asking me for? She said, nothing. Knowing she wanted it, and he would say, well, whatever it is, you could get it. You know where the money at. And she would just say, well, if you think so, because she always let him think it was his idea. You know, and I looked at that. That goes into what I had said earlier.
with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, I have to learn how to expect help, accept help, and allow him to love me, lead me, protect me, and guide me, and let him love me for real, for real.
Yeah. Amen.
Because, like you said, didn't come in with a plan, but I came in with a plan, but somewhere along the line, we forgot. Somewhere along the line, we forgot. And the enemy got in. Let's just be
honest. Right.
You know,
it's college
we have to go.
Yeah.
We have to go back and say the enemy got in, and we have to remember that Adam was made from the dirt, but Eve was from within. You said it cannot be dead, but it can be two hearts. And if the two hearts been together as one, they could be a sacrifice to God for to do what God has said. And that's the place that I'm living now for God to restore, not just restore, but reunite my marriage, you know, revive it, rekindle it. I'm just in the place where I'm saying, God, nobody but you. Because the role of the wife is the most important part of the family, of the relationship, because that wife has the power to make that man strong or weak, love or hateful. Because Eve proved that to us in the beginning. We have we have that power of persuasion among our man. So,
but see, and that's a two-fold street in the sense that as you know that, as you know your husband, as you nurture him, as you help him really fulfill the potential that God has placed in him, then it's not a competition. It becomes a joy for you to see him doing well. And it hurts you when he's not.
Correct.
You know, and so you want him to do well. And you want him to do well in the kingdom of God, because this is only part of our journey. When we finish here, then there's another life we get to live.
Oh, my.
And so we want to make sure that he has fulfilled everything that God wants him to do while he is here, and then while we are here as a couple. So that's so important. It is being married, becoming one, the scripture says it is a mystery. And then he says, but we're talking about Christ and the church. So basically, what we're going through is a difficult, because we're becoming one. And I want you to think about it, to become one, that means you've got to surrender some of who you are. He's going to surrender some of who he is, so y'all can start being together on the same page. That means that you're not always going to agree, but you learn how to agree. You do that. And you do it to honor God, not to be one up on the other person. And so that starts to change the whole purpose of your marriage. It's because it is for others to look on and see what God looks like as you walk this way. So it's no longer just for you. And I want to say this, and I know our time is well spent, but I also want women and mothers and to understand that nobody, that your happiness doesn't depend on your husband. I hear so many people tell me, well, I'm not happy. God wouldn't want me to be in a marriage because I'm not happy. And I'm like, hold up. Give me scripture for that. There's no scripture for that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So you're looking forward to your husband to do something that only God can do. God didn't put that man here to make you happy. But the world has changed that. So like you said in that 30-minute program or in that hour program, he's making her happy. And what does that happen? It looks like buying stuff, giving her this, doing whatever she wants. That's not the reality of a relationship. So how are you really showing your kids what it looks like to do the work of marriage? Marriage is work. It's the hardest work you're going to do.
That's it. I say all the time, I go to work to get away, but I come home, I have to do work.
But it should be, after a while, it should get sweeter. It should be a joy.
Yeah, it should. It should, but a lot of times, we look at it, at work, we get a break and we get a lunch. At home, you don't get that. You just get a straight through.
But that's where you and your husband start to have a conversation so you can get that break. So he'll come alongside. I really have to tell you that God's given me such a good man. My husband retired 10 years ago almost. And you know what he says to me? I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to keep the kitchen clean. I'm going to take care of this. I didn't ask him to do that, but he took that on because it was something that he could see that there was one thing that I didn't have to do. You know, and it was my joy to say, oh, baby, you can clean the kitchen. Look at you. You know, just like your mom, Aunt Adele did Uncle Beauty. It's the same. It's a receptive kind of thing. And God made us to respond to our husband.
Yes.
And when we are not feeling appreciated, then that really changes our dynamic between the two of us. And so that's so important. But I know we are over our time, but just wanted to put that in because the world has colored this whole idea of marriage is that he's supposed to make me happy. No, that's not your husband's role. Your husband's role is to love you. God is going to make you happy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's so true. Oh. And I thank you again for pouring into us on this evening because a lot of people have not been taught or have not seen a true, real relationship. They only heard about it or they saw it read it in a book or they saw it in a love story, but they didn't know that it truly exists. So thank you again for teaching us what the Word said about marriage, family, the role of the woman, and learning about the role of the husband. So for those of you all that's listening, this is not the end of this. Where it's so much to teach on this series of marriage and love that you can always learn something. So please tune in on the next fourth Monday in April. You're going to learn something else about whatever God has put on the Montgomery's heart to share with us. We thank them again for taking the time out to do this for us on Smile3E and on Facebook Live. We want you all to know that foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And that, as you all know, this subject tonight was about kingdom building and its building of the marriage of the woman. So I'm going to give you all our final notes for our program, and then I'm going to let Mother Toni Montgomery and Minister Ron in the program with a final word and with prayer. So don't forget, this Friday coming up is the fourth Friday. Our very own Prophet Antoine Thomas would be our speaker. He will be the speaker for this Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Sunday, our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia, yes, Lord Kaiser, will be on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. She will be on Blog Talk, Iron Sharpening Iron Radio Ministries. And on the 5th, this Monday coming up, we have a 5th Monday. Our very own Minister Lon Seabury will be speaking to for our youth service at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join in so that you can hear from Minister Lon Seabury. So at this time, I'm going to hand it back over to the man and woman of God so that they can close us out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank God. I'd like everybody to get a pencil and a piece of paper. I want to write down I want you to write down a notation of a website you can go to hear more about marriage. In fact, I mentioned the marriage summit that we just came out of this past weekend, and the whole thing is on YouTube. Well, it's on the church site, and you can access YouTube through there. And that website is OCBF Church, OCBFChurch.org/revive, R-E-V-I-V-E. Again, that's OCBFChurch.org/revive, R-E-V-I-V-E. Go to that and take a look at the marriage summit. I'm sure that you'll get some jewels out of it. And we really enjoyed our time here with y'all tonight. I hope you tolerated me okay.
And so thank you, and the Lord said the same. We will be here in April on the fourth Monday in April.
Fourth Monday in April.
So, Lord, we thank you, and we honor
thank
you.
All.
We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to pour into the lives of your people in the marriages, Lord God, of those that are listening. And we just ask, God, that you have your way in our lives and in their lives, that you, Lord, will build kingdom marriages so your kingdom, Lord, will be revealed. In that anchoring scripture, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we desire, Lord God, to seek you first and that all things will be added unto us. We thank you, we praise you, and we lift you up. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we ask that you bless this ministry, that you make it grow, that you give it, Lord God, your Holy Ghost approval, that it will go out, Lord God, and deal in the life of all of those, Lord God, who are looking to be kingdom disciples. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, everyone.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.